commercial facilities, commercial sites have a very significant role to play in the acceleration of electric vehicles. And what that entails effectively is making sure that there is charging available kind of everywhere that a driver might go.
Electric-only and traditional automakers are all eager to fuel the transition to sustainable driving. But widespread adoption of electric vehicles will require more charging stations to be installed, not just in homes, where around 80% of charging is done today, but on streets and along highways and at workplaces, retail centers, and other commercial properties. I'm Therese Fitzgerald, Executive Editor of Commercial Property Executive. Welcome back to Sustainability Street, our podcast on the intersection of commercial real estate and the world we live in. In this episode, the critical role that electric vehicle charging plays as we move to emissions-free automobiles and how commercial real estate is integral to the establishment of that infrastructure. Let's get started. McKinsey estimates that $110 billion to $180 billion must be invested in EV charging between 2020 and 2030 in order to satisfy global demand for both public and residential charging. The three most advanced EV markets, China, the EU plus the United Kingdom, and the United States, will need a combined 22 million to 27 million charging ports by 2025, and 55 million by 2030.
We're seeing a very, very strong ramp up in electric vehicle sales. And then the next step of that is, where are the people who own those electric vehicles going to charge their cars?
That's Mark Henderson. He handles US sales for EV Box, one of the many EV charging companies vying for a position in this growing market. EV Box has first sales in the United States in 2017 and now has charging stations installed in 30 plus states. The company was founded in the Netherlands around 2010, just a year or so after the first EVs hit the European market.
The car geeks will tell you that actually there was an electric vehicle invented in the 1890s. But really, as we know it, it really started taking off in 2008, 2009.
Today, EV Box is the largest provider in Europe, and its 250,000 installed charging ports span 70 countries. It is targeting 1 million charging ports by 2023. And this year, EV Box will become a public company listed on the New York Stock Exchange via a merger with TPG Pace Beneficial Finance, a special purpose acquisition company. In the United States, EV Box focuses on level 2 and level 3 charging for businesses using open charge point protocol.
We feel like it's really good for the industry to make sure that there's choice, that our customers don't have stranded assets. The risk is if you buy a piece of hardware that only works with one piece of software, then what happens if that software doesn't exist in 5 years? Then you've got a stranded asset, right? So with the hardware and software being able to communicate kind of independently of each other as long as they're OCPP compliant, that means that customers get the choice of how they're going to run the machine.
Level 2, Level 3, you may be wondering what all that means. Level 1 chargers, also known as trickle chargers, are what many EV drivers use at home. They require just a regular 120-volt outlet, but it can take days to fully charge an EV battery using a Level 1 charger.
Level 2 charging, the AC charging, which can take anywhere between 2 to 4 hours to charge your vehicle. And those are the types of things that you might put in your garage. They're the types of things you might put in a workplace or in an office environment for a commercial building where an employee might go to work, plug their car in while they're working, the car's charging up.
And level 3?
And then you're also seeing the other purpose, which is more along corridors, highway corridors, or places where you have high traffic areas for long distances. And that's where DC charging has a better fit. And that's the kind of thing where you don't actually have time to stop for 4 hours. So you need to charge in 20 or 30 minutes, depending on the size of your vehicle. And you go and you plug in and you go. So it's a lot more like a regular fuel station.
Level 2 and level 3 chargers are both vital for EV drivers.
Both of those have very important parts of building this industry. And both of those are incredibly important from our perspective to making sure that electric vehicle drivers are comfortable with the cars and also comfortable that they're going to be able to solve what's called range anxiety, to make sure that people feel like they know where they're going to be able to charge their vehicle so they don't get stranded.
Currently in the United States, there are an estimated 42,000 level 2 and level 3 charging stations containing about 100,000 charging ports. Granted, only a small percentage of Americans are driving EVs. In a recent study conducted with Ipsos, EV Box found 0.6% of U.S. drivers own electric vehicles. But the study found that the potential is 57% by 2030.
Yeah, we're expecting that kind of growth in the industry between, you know, really in the next decade is when we're going to see a tipping point from obviously quite predominantly gas combustion cars to electric vehicles. And then it will continue to go beyond that.
Manufacturers are certainly moving ahead with the confidence that consumer, business, and government demand for EVs will grow exponentially. According to McKinsey, more than 250 new models of battery electric vehicles and plug-in hybrid electric vehicles will be introduced in the next 2 years alone by electric-only companies and by legacy automakers.
I think it took Tesla to come out of the gate and really struggle for almost a decade, you know, with development and before they turned a profit. And Tesla proved to the world that, hey, it could be done. And it could be done profitably, and your bets have paid off.
That's Tom Stringer, leader of BDO's National Site Selection and Business Incentives Practice, which has been helping electric vehicle manufacturers find new sites for production.
You had a half a dozen other manufacturers develop, jump into the space. You have the legacy automobile manufacturers say, all right, Tesla's proved it, we're in. Now the infrastructure component is catching up to that as everyone transitions over to the electric side of the house. So it, again, chicken and egg at same time.
The charging business may not be as exciting as the cars themselves, Stringer said, but it is absolutely essential. Just last week, by the way, Ford Motor Company bought Electrify, a provider of charging management and fleet monitoring software for its Ford Pro unit.
So getting widespread adoption of the infrastructure is extraordinarily important. It's on the mind of everybody at manufacturing level, but I think folks in policy decisions in both parties who see that EV is here to stay, how do we support it and nurture it?
Governments at all levels, as well as the utilities, are indeed rallying around EV charging and EV manufacturing. That's not surprising since transportation produces the largest portion of greenhouse gas emissions at 29%, according to the EPA. Eliminating gas combustion vehicles, therefore, is necessary for reaching carbon reduction goals. At the federal level, President Biden pledged to electrify the federal fleet of around 650,000 vehicles, and his infrastructure plan includes $174 billion to facilitate EV manufacturing. $15 billion of that would jumpstart the establishment of a national network of 500,000 charging stations by state and local governments and private companies. California and Massachusetts have both outlawed the sale of electric vehicles by 2035. New York is expected to be next. Meanwhile, the governor of Washington State is expected to sign a bill that would end gas-powered sales by 2030. Cities are also getting aggressive about EVs. Petaluma, California recently banned all new gas stations. Berkeley, California's city council is considering a proposal to end EV sales by 2027. And Seattle is requiring that 20% of parking spaces at new multifamily developments be devoted to EV charging. Further, commercial property owners who install charging stations can avail themselves of federal and state tax incentives and rebates from the utilities.
incentives really kind of absorb some of those initial operating and startup costs. And in the green energy space, especially around electric vehicles and transportation, they've worked. I mean, if you look at where this industry was 10 years ago, it really was in many ways a figment of folks' imagination. And here we are really a decade later, and the transition is not just starting, but it is in full swing. And the infrastructure is being laid in. Legacy automakers are talking about the full conversion to electric in their fleets. It's pretty exciting.
EV charging and real estate, why are they so closely aligned? Here's Henderson again.
Commercial facilities, commercial sites have a very significant role to play in the acceleration of electric vehicles. And what that entails effectively is making sure that there is charging available kind of everywhere that a driver might go.
Having charging stations in malls, office buildings, hotels, apartment buildings, and event spaces is important for a couple of reasons. First, charging up your EV is different than gassing up your car.
It's a lot more like the way that people plug in their cell phones. Oh, I'm a little low. I'm going to be here for 15 minutes and plug my phone in for a little while, right? Mm. The same thing is going to start applying to electric vehicles, especially in urban areas. Electric vehicle drivers, that's the expectation that they have. So when they go to the grocery store, having a charging station available at that grocery store, I'm going to be here for 20 minutes. I plug in, I get 20 minutes worth of charging. And then I move on. Workplaces, very significant. Employee provided, or you know, providing charging access for employees is a really big focus of this market and ours at EVBox. And also retail or hospitality facilities, things like that are predominant for us.
And having charging stations everywhere will also help people get more comfortable with EVs.
Well, the more people see the availability of charging, the less likely they are to be skeptical about it.
While EV charging may now be seen as an amenity, it will soon become a fundamental component of building construction and operation. The 2021 version of the International Energy Conservation Code requires EV charging capability for all new commercial and residential properties. State and local governments that don't already require EV infrastructure on new properties are expected to fall in line. Here's Mike Bammel, National Head of the Renewable Energy Valuation Team for JLL Valuation Advisory.
With the Biden plan, the push for electric vehicles, they're also hearing from auto manufacturers that they are committing to either all electric vehicles by some point like 2030 or so, or at least a significant portion. So commercial real estate owners will have to catch up or be prepared for that.
The major mall owners have been supplying level 2 EV charging for some time, but many are upping their game. Westfield Rodamco, for example, announced last year that it planned to install 100 individual DC charging stations at 19 retail centers by the end of this year. In addition to the tenant-driven reasons for installing EV chargers, the devices can also, of course, help owners meet their sustainability goals.
The sustainability benefits can play in a couple of ways. One is you offset your carbon footprint on site, for example. The other is that you demonstrate to investors that, hey, you're taking the right step towards making a greener world, and you're adding value to the site, making it more attractive, and showing that you're taking the right steps. So there's a lot of positives to it.
And as the EV charging industry grows, owners are benefiting from the variety of options and the competition.
Yeah, you're starting to see more activity with it. There is opportunity to identify a company that can has good quality product and stand behind it. If you combine it with an on-site solar system as well, then it gets a little more complicated. But there are partners that can do both solar and the EV charging systems. The market is getting more and more accessible for people to do this. So there's more players in the industry.
There is, however, still a learning curve for many owners.
It's what do you do? Where do you put it? You know, how do you charge for it? Do you charge for it? Those kind of questions that have to be played out. Do you open it up to the public? Do you just keep it for your tenants at the property? So there's questions to figure out.
I asked Henderson how many parking spaces commercial real estate owners should be dedicating to electric vehicle charging at this point in time. He said owners can still move gradually.
Even in the most ambitious scenario, you're probably talking about 10 or 15% of your slots, at least for the next few years. When we get to a point where literally every vehicle is electric, then, you know, that dynamic starts to change. But as of now, I think the 10% tends to be what we recommend that people are going to need to do over the next few years.
EV chargers do not take up much space, but owners have to be cognizant of the utility and making sure they have enough power.
There are a variety of options there. The AC, the level twos, don't require so much that it's usually very substantive for the utility. Mm-hmm. But the software that we support with our stations allows for, if you only have a certain amount of load available, it allows for that to be shared between all of those various stations so that you don't go over what is allowable from the utility. And it's quite easy to work with the utility and make sure that you have all of those things set up.
DC charging is a bit more involved.
If you want to get into DC and provide that fast charging, which for most of your customers, unless they're like a retail environment where people are being drawn in, you may not actually have a lot of, but if you did that, it is more substantial. It requires a lot of partnership with the utility or some partnership with the utility to make sure that you are set up on the upgrade, that you have enough power to support it. And so it's a little bit more of a process, but the utilities are certainly eager to help with it.
CPE will definitely keep you updated on the expansion of EV charging in commercial real estate. If you have any feedback or ideas for future programs, feel free to reach out to me at therese.fitzgerald@cpe-mhn.com. Thanks for listening, and I'll meet you next time on Sustainability Street. Bye for now.